All right, we're back. This is episode 13 of the 26th. I am Jack Bixby.
And I'm Nick Wald. Today is January 25th. I'm interrupting you, Jack.
Right.
Today's January 25th
I always forget.
At 4:06 p.m. Today we're going to go through Biden's couple executive orders that he's put out in his time as president. Liz Cheney and her deal, is she the future of the GOP? What's happening with her? And a DOJ investigation into election fraud under the Trump administration. I mean, we can't say we didn't see that coming. Also, Sarah Sanders is running for governor in Arkansas. Okay. So we'll jump right in now, I guess, to the couple executive orders. He signed 30 in his 5 days as president, 4.5, depending on how you count it. A third of those, 10, are just to overturn Trump-era orders, regulations, policies. That's a lot. So we'll get started here on the topic of regulation. Signed on January 20th, Biden's directing the Office of Management and Budget Director to develop recommendations to modernize regulatory review, and he's undoing some regulatory approval process things, which sort of account for Trump sidestepping a lot of the regulations which involve appointing federal and state level judges, which he did to help him gain power because he's a fascist. The second topic of immigration, there are a couple there, also signed on January 20th. He's halted the construction of the border wall, which Trump used a national declaration of emergency to fund it, which is not really allowed
in that case. Didn't he steal from FEMA?
Yes, he did. And that
he
is
billions
a murky from, area. Yeah. We don't know if that's legal or not, but according to the unitary executive theory, of course it is.
I remember when that was a thing, yeah, where we were actually concerned about where that
checks on
money
power
for the border wall was coming
too
from. And now, like, even if that is illegal, it's so far
it's such
back
a non
in everyone's minds that we're not going to think about it.
No, that's we'll talk more about things being washed away. But next topic of immigration or undoing Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the U.S., which means that basically we're not targeting as heavily immigrants as Trump did, going through Sunday raids and things like that. Was atrocious. That was like 2018.
Yeah.
He's also reversing Trump's restrictions on U.S. entry for passport holders from a couple, I think seven Muslim countries. So that's a step in the right direction in terms of quality. Next, there's some things in the census which also have to do with immigration. Biden is requiring non-citizens to be included in the census. So any undocumented immigrants, non-citizens, whatever, they are now in the census, which is more reflective of us as a country, of course. The big topic here, one of the two big topics, three, the biggest being environment, COVID, and racial equity, is racial equity. Biden has rescinded Trump's 1776 commission, which is, we didn't talk about it here, but sparked a lot of outrage on MLK Day. The report basically was saying we need to re-educate, change the way that we teach American history. They said we need to return to an era of patriotic education amid what they call, quote, reckless re-education attempts that seek to reframe American history around the idea that the United States is not an exceptional country, but an evil one. That's not true. It's just objective historical facts. They basically are wanting to make America look better, which is something pretty similar to what China does. Next topic of the environment, we are canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, which was a huge thing at the end of Obama's administration and something that Trump really wanted to follow through on. It includes that that little batch of environmental things around the Keystone pipeline includes protections on wildlife in Africa, which were taken away under the Trump administration to allow for oil companies to drill up there without any consideration of environmental impact. That's good. We're back to caring about the environment.
Before we go past, I want to talk about that 1776 commission.
Yeah.
I think at the heart of what is wrong with, at the heart of why young voters are interested in Trump, for those that are, it's this whole like nationalism thing, where we see ourselves as Like, I'm very patriotic, but there's a clear line between nationalism and patriotism.
Yeah.
So those people that only want America to be seen as, what was it, an exceptional country rather than an evil one, throughout all of American history, we've done a lot of evil shit.
Yeah. And to deny no surprise, it's all majority Republicans who have done that.
I don't want to be like too partisan because Obama committed war crimes and I love Obama, but my point is that we, to try and erase what we've done as a country, I think is the most dangerous thing, because that's how you don't learn from your history.
Yeah.
Like if we, and I think like there's a lot of points you could draw between the alienation of the South, in the Civil War and the alienation of the South now, because that was like, that was like mid-industrial revolution, and they were in the 1700s, and North was plowing forward. So I think it's the same thing. As we move forward into this tech age and we lose manufacturing jobs, they feel left behind, and that's why they're resorting to their nationalism, when they think, you know,
this is
the
sound
best country in the world.
Unrelated, but I was watching a thing about Napster and just how it ruined the music industry for a little while. And there's a clear difference between people who adapt and want the future to be better and people who are scared of change and want to conserve and preserve what they have. And I think this is the epitome of that conservation from conservatives. It's they are holding on to what they see as the right view of America in order to push away any ideas that we're a bad country that Trump did. I mean, obviously, there's got to be something in here about people not the Trump administration doesn't want Trump to be remembered poorly. There's got to be something in here. There are things throughout it that are basically saying we need to re-educate, which is what we did to the Japanese in World War II. And we need to sort of define our idea of America, which is just bullshit. I think Peter Groff, who is the head of the Senate in Colorado, Colorado president of the Senate for a while, he said it best, I think. So this, he said, this is a tweet, quote, so this commission releases a report on MLK Day saying, says that educating us that many of our founding fathers enslaved human beings is more dangerous than the fact that many of the founding fathers enslaved human beings. It's insane. It's just telling people to remove everything that you think about our history
I think it's okay to think that your country is the greatest country in the world. And I think America is the greatest country in the world.
But changing textbooks goes a step further.
I think that's the issue. But I think why I think America is the greatest country in the world is because of its diversity. There's no country in the world that has like such a diverse population. I think that's what makes us so much more adaptive. So stuff like this where we have like far right racists and fascists trying to like overthrow our education system to push their narrative, I think that our diversity allows us to combat that a lot better. Like Italy right now, I just got an alert on my phone that their prime minister is stepping down, so that whole political system is kind of fucked. But they've had this like far right rise in nationalism and racism, and their population of people of color is so small that there's no group strong enough to push back on this. Because, like, the white people, it's not impacting them. They don't really care.
Yeah.
So I think that us having... And, I mean, that's what, like, all the conservatives... I don't want to, like, lop all the conservatives into one category. But I think a lot of the right is concerned, and, like, a lot of the people that marched on the Capitol were saying that we don't want to be replaced, and I mean, it's purely racist. But I think as we become more and more diverse and white people end up becoming a minority in the U.S., I think we become a better country. I think
that
having more points of view is better.
I wonder what those people who love the 1776 commission would think of the people who were rioting in North Carolina, I think, in 2018 in the summer.
Charlottesville.
Yeah, Charlottesville, All Lives Matter, and Jews Will Not Replace Us, Blood and Soil, that shit. I wonder if they're going to be back in those textbooks. Seems like something you'd want to forget.
Yeah, I think it's very dangerous to try and erase our misdeeds.
It's funny also because they're like so scared of socialism to even the smallest degree, but they don't blink an eye when you try to change the history of our country forcibly. It's a little bit contradictory.
Okay, moving on. I want to talk about the pipeline as well. So yeah. I was on TikTok the other day, and I really try not to do this, but I commented on someone's post, and it was like, they were like, you're destroying our lives because you're like canceling this pipeline. And my point of view on that is that losing 10,000 jobs or whatever, however many it was, is bad. That will never be good. However, I think that making actual effort towards stopping the effects of climate change cannot be, and I mean, obviously, this
do you know what the like? I'm not like patronizing you. Do you know what like the pipeline is supposed to do?
Yeah, so I know that the instead they're going to move
it just
by
a
trucks,
shortcut?
But it goes through
angle.
Sacred. It destroys natural habitats, and it goes underground. And it's going through sacred Native American land.
Right.
I think it's fucked up.
No, obviously.
It's not land that we should be messing with. And I think that the like creating this oil pipeline around and all this infrastructure only makes us more only makes us more dependent on oil. Like,
yeah.
If we have all this infrastructure, we're going to want to use it.
That's almost an admission of defeat at this day and age, creating a bigger pipeline.
What we need to do is back away from oil as fast as we can. And I'm glad Biden did it. I'm glad he made the effort.
Yeah. And adding on to that, his next environmental overturn of Trump era policy is rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, which will take 30 days. But we were one of like the only countries not in that accord, the only civilized, big, wealthy countries that were not in that accord. So good to be back there. And then there are some more in terms of the pandemic response. He is stopping our withdrawal from the WHO and making Fauci the head of our delegation in the UN to the WHO. And then finally, in terms of economy, we're restoring collective bargaining power and worker protection for federal workers. And it's basically starting the foundations of $15 minimum wage, which Bernie will love.
So we were talking, I was kind of distant because I wanted to find this tweet, talking about the Paris climate agreement. Ted Cruz said by rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, President Biden indicates he's more interested in the views of the citizens of Paris than in the jobs of the citizens of Pittsburgh.
That's not real.
This agreement will do little to affect the climate and will harm the livelihoods of Americans.
Holy shit.
I gotta screenshot this thing.
We gotta get rid of Ted Cruz, man.
That is so funny.
Jesus Christ.
Did you see the, I don't want to like go into this, but did you see the, his argument with Seth Rogen?
No.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it either.
Well, I follow Seth Rogen on Twitter, and he was blown up because he like said "fuck off, you fascist" like 7 times to Ted Cruz. It was so funny.
I love that.
And he put Ted Cruz in his place.
Yeah, we'll link that down below. Don't worry.
I thought it was very impressive. There's a good chain. Anyway, he's like talking about the insurrection. And we can talk about that later when we talk about the future of the Republican Party.
Yeah, as we love to do. There are a couple executive orders that Biden put in that are brand new. He's appointing a new COVID czar in an effort to, quote, aggressively gear up our pandemic response. He is enhancing our collection, production, sharing, analysis of COVID data. That means everything from contact tracing to sending out vaccine data from hospital to hospital, which is great. Requiring masks in airports, on federal lands, in transportations that cross state borders, and adding something that means international travelers have to provide proof of a negative COVID test before coming here. That was on the 21st. This is all a day after he took office. He's launched this kind of weird, I think this is a weird way to do it, 100-day masking challenge, which is like something you would see on TikTok. Which is requiring asking Americans to wear masks for 100 days, and that's adding on to that, requiring people to wear masks in all federal buildings and all federal lands,
which
everything to...
It seems like it should have been happening.
Yeah. And they're being asked to implement more strict social distancing rules.
Did we mention the... what's it called? I think it just happened today. So the transgender ban of the military was lifted.
Yep. That's number 11 of Trump overturns.
I wanted to ask you about that. I understand both sides, although one side is wrong. I what is your perspective on
I
that?
also think one side is wrong. I don't understand how we went from Obama allowing people to do that, allowing transgender people into the military. I mean, it just shows you who Trump is. He's got no remorse for these people, but
I understand the like the idea is that if you don't feel comfortable around someone,
yeah, but
then
if you're
not
in the
going to do
military,
your best
come
work.
on.
So that's my point. If you're in the military, it's like a high stress situation. You're not going to feel comfortable around someone, and you're going to want to, like you're not going to trust them with your life. However, I think it's your job. If you can't work
I
with
think
another
that's a little
fucking
fucked
person,
up, to be honest, if you can't trust them with your life because they're transgender.
It is fucked up.
No,
that's
I know.
My point.
I'm just saying.
My point is that if you can't do your job because you're concerned about what parts the person next to you has, like, that's pathetic. You should be a soldier if
no.
you're that
also,
fixated on.
Also, when is a soldier ever comfortable? There's very few times when somebody is like, "Yeah, I'm chilling." Like,
I think it's more like you have to feel comfortable with the people around you, or that's their argument that you have to feel comfortable with the people around you. And I think you should, but if you're intolerant, you like. It's the same thing if you, like, don't trust a woman.
Yeah, it's
in,
not a reflection of the military.
Women weren't allowed in the military. Women weren't allowed in the military until, like, 25 years ago or something like that. I think in 10 years we're going to look back on this and be like, hey, like, why was that a debate?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Two more points that I want to hit in terms of these. In terms of ethics, he's requiring executive branch appointees to sign a pledge, which bars them from acting in personal interest and requires them to uphold the same independence and standards as the DOJ. And then in terms of economy, he is extending the nationwide moratorium on evictions and foreclosures until March 31st, which was expected to expire at the beginning of January 20th with no action. So good thing we got that squared away. And I think that's it for these main executive orders.
So Biden's been president for what did we say?
Five days.
4
and a half at
and
least.
A little bit before that, there is a Trump impeachment trial. And Liz Cheney, who is the third most powerful person in the House of Representatives, ended up voting to impeach Trump. And there have been some mildly serious ramifications coming from that. The first being that a lot of her Republican colleagues have been very vocal in their dislike of her vote. The biggest being Matt Gaetz and McCarthy, who's the minority leader. I just want to touch on this thing that me and Nick were joking about, that Matt Gaetz, who is very openly not tolerant of a lot of people, has a air quotes adoptive son who is 19 years old from Cuba, who is living with him in his apartment in Miami.
It's a great story.
So do with that information what you will, but I think it's...
I don't think it's like that girl who was living in Diplo's house just because they were friends, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I don't... What's her name? Quinn Blackwell.
Yeah.
I follow her on TikTok. She's hilarious. Anyway, so Matt
it's
Gaetz
like
has
that.
Probably... He's probably been at the forefront of this attack on Liz Cheney. He's been very... He's going to Wyoming today to, like, talk about how much, like... Or, no, his point is that he wants to... it's January 28th. He's going to Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is where Liz Cheney is representative from, so that he can explain... Basically, he can hold an event where they can explain the failed policies by at Liz Cheney, according to this tweet. And Donald Trump Jr. said, can't join in person. He retweeted, said, can't join in person. But can I Skype in or call?
Good
question
Lord.
Mark. So I think, and Matt Gaetz, he also tweeted that he's not looking for her position because, I mean, she is very powerful in the House, which I think is horseshit. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't be doing
no
this.
Fucking
I also,
way.
I hate Matt Gaetz. I can't stand him. And I think he just seems very disingenuous when he's talking about this. I think he's just looking for a power play. He doesn't actually care what you did.
No. Well, he was one. And wasn't he sort of on the Trump bandwagon the whole time?
He is a serious Trumper.
Yeah, so it makes sense that he's not letting go. He's fighting to the
yeah,
end. There was some Politico post. I'll let you go, but there was some Politico post where it's like all these aides that stuck by him to the bitter end. They're fucked. Like, for lack of a better word, they have nothing to do, nowhere to go. We were talking about this earlier for the podcast, but they can't get jobs at any reputable employer. They can't do anything other than maybe write a book that will probably sell poorly. So he's got to be doing some kind of power play. I don't believe that he's just doing this for fun.
He's only 38. Wow. He's a young guy.
Lots of time for corruption.
I just don't understand the move of going to Wyoming if you're not actually going for her seat. Or not like running in Wyoming, but looking for her power. And it's weird because a few years ago when Liz Cheney first got elected, 2017 she got elected, she was seen as like a very admirable face of the Republican Party. Yeah. She was very she had mixed up. Admired by, now she's admired by the left rather than the right. But she
it's a different kind of voice.
She's now going to be struggling to win her seat. I don't know when she up for re-election. But I mean, that's a sharp turn because the Republican Party is too fixated on Trumpism.
Yeah. They just can't let go of that motherfucker.
When is her... Hold on, I'm looking this up. Oh, 2022. So she has 2 years left. And
this Matt Gaetz thing will fizzle out, I think.
I agree, but I wonder if the damage will already be done. Because those people in Wyoming, like, there's not a lot of people in Wyoming, especially in her district. So, like, they're going to remember this. They're going to...
Yeah, and they're not seeing any news other than Biden bad. So...
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's Matt Gaetz, like another Republican who, and Wyoming is heavily Trump country.
Yeah.
A Republican who is buddied up with Trump coming to tell them all this bad shit that their congresswoman is doing. I think that hits home. I think she's got some work to do.
I think she can prevail, though.
I think she'll win because
she showed her strength with the impeachment.
Also, we didn't mention this, but I'm sure you know because there's no other person named Cheney, but she's Dick Cheney's daughter. And I want to clarify like where I stand on Dick Cheney. I think Dick Cheney is a horrible person, but Cheney
damn, is he a badass motherfucker.
He is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, so I think generally she does have a pretty good... she set herself up well, depending on how much this Matt Gaetz thing lasts, how much these people in Wyoming latch on to him visiting them will, I think, determine a lot. But I don't think there's too much threat to Liz Cheney as of right now, especially considering her election bids in 2 years. So I think we'll move right on now to one of our final topics. The DOJ is investigating... election fraud, which is wonderful. They've launched an investigation looking at Trump-era DOJ officials, actually both current and former DOJ officials, who may have engaged in or at least tried to engage in election fraud. They are investigating basically, quote, whether anyone engaged in an improper attempt to have DOJ seek to alter the outcome of the 2020 election. So this comes after a New York Times and Wall Street Journal reports, which alleged that Jim Clark, who is a DOJ lawyer, had conspired with Trump around the Georgia elections to overturn those election results by ousting acting AG Jeff Rosen. Rosen had refused on multiple occasions requests from Trump to have the DOJ file documents in support of Republican legal challenges to the election results. And he also refused to appoint special counsels to investigate baseless claims of voter fraud. So there's basically a small attempted coup within the Justice Department. Rosen, the acting AG, was informed by Trump indirectly at first. He heard from Clark that Trump was planning on ousting him and appointing Clark to his position, so actually changing acting AG with acting AG, or with a lawyer. And he was this guy who was going to replace Jeff Rosen, who would side with Trump and then block the Senate from approving Biden. He was always a Trumpian advocate, called on the DOJ to open an investigation into the election fraud in Georgia, which did not exist. But the plan was reportedly called off after interventions from the DOJ and the White House and said, you should not be doing this, of course. Clark since has denied any involvement in the plan. So
it's a little sus. That's just pure political bias.
Like, yeah.
Using your power as the lawyer that Trump wanted to replace the acting AG with, using your power as like being using his place of power, I think is
it's criminal,
pure corruption, and I don't think anything's going to come out of it.
No, and I think
there's nothing.
I don't know what they can do to them, to be honest, to what the DOJ can do to Jim Clark. I think they just see this as sort of like, oh, there are things here we need to look at, and there cannot be such as there has to be more people involved, which I agree with. There's no way that this ends any kind of corruption or anything. It's just the start. So, yeah. Right. I think that'll do it for our episode today. A little shorter than usual, but Jack's bleeding in the nose. So
I do have a bloody nose right now.
We do what's necessary.
I'm in my laundry room trying to plug it up with toilet paper because I don't have any tissues.
Like a real man. So that's episode 13. Thank you for joining us.